Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Dawson Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Got a big show coming off another significant recruiting weekend. Really a recruiting week when it comes down to it. Two new commitments coming over the weekend. We'll get into those. I also want to get into, you know, the previous commitments from Enzo Jennings and from Tyler Elsden and put this whole picture of Penn State's 2020 recruiting class back together. That's really the essence of the whole show. Third quarter, we're going to look at this idea here that this was a down cycle, and they're in the top 10 as we sit here today, but is that fool's gold too? So where is Penn State's recruiting class and where is it going? And it felt like another good time considering I think 11 out of 16 prospects in this class, Greg, are three-star players. It's worth exploring Penn State's history with similar type players. And
Right. There's
it's pretty much as you would expect, I think, where there's some real success stories and there are some real misses. And I think that's what it comes down to with these three stars. So a lot to cover, all pointing back to the 2020 recruiting class, starting with the commitments from the weekend.
Yeah, really interesting couple of days there for Penn State. You know, we talked last week about the fact that things didn't seem to be going maybe in the right direction, the direction that we thought they would. And boy, things turned around in a hurry. And I think that, you know, you look at the totality of what Penn State was able to pick up last week, and they have some pieces that I think you know will be good players at the college level. And I think they have some pieces that you think can be good players at the college level. It's just a matter of how those guys end up shaking out. So pretty good get, you know, with Enzo Jennings. And that was a little bit of a, you know, I don't know if surprise is the right word, but I'm not sure we saw him wrapping things up so soon. But the kid that I like most out of this commitment group is Amin Vanover, New Jersey defensive lineman. I really think that kid has a chance to do something special. He's only a three-star, and I'm not really quite sure why. And he's in New Jersey, so it's not like he's in a, you know, there's not really a way to explain away why he's a three-star.
He's not tucked away in, like, northern New Jersey or anything.
I'd be willing to bet that his star rating is probably going to rise during his senior season or right after his senior season. It just seems like when you turn his film on, that he's a guy that can make plays and wreak havoc at the college level. So the fact that he was listed as a three-star is a bit of a surprise to me. But my suspicion is that he knew Penn State was probably running out of space along the defensive line after getting the Brandon Taylor commitment, and so he decided to pull the trigger then as well.
So I feel the same way about Vanover. It's hard to really understand how he's a three-star when his offer sheet has Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia on it. And I think really what it comes down to with him is that he is a grown man right now. He's going to be a senior at St. Joseph Regional. He's a grown man right now at 6'4", 250, 260. He's got that kind of build that I think is perfect for Penn State. Penn State wants to evaluate some of these guys and determine whether see where their body goes. If he's 6'4", 260 and he takes to the strength program and he's 280, then suddenly you're pretty much your prototype of defensive ends who are coming inside and creating some mismatches with that length and quickness. If they want to keep him right around where he's at and just reshape his body, he's going to be a big, powerful, strong, run-stuffing defensive end, which that's exactly what he looks like right now. You know, I think to see his frame, Greg, at 6'4", 260, but also to see his wingspan looks pretty crazy too.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is. I'm just looking at, you know, just brief highlights of him, but if his wingspan is kind of out of the ordinary, like Brandon Smith, the freshman linebacker, then he's a very, very unique player. And I could see him ended up at defensive tackle or defensive end. And a lot of times when I see a kid who's listed at 260, who's just becoming a senior in high school, I think he's a defensive tackle all the way. I don't quite feel that way about him. I think he can stick a defensive end because of how long he is. And he uses that length to his advantage.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's what Penn State likes about him. You know, if you didn't read the article in 247sports.com from Chris Hummer, where he looked at the sort of analytical technical side of recruiting, and Penn State's Andy Frank was featured pretty heavily in that, along with Matt Rhule down at Baylor. And I mean, it gives you a glimpse behind the curtain and kind of indicates how Penn State goes about things. And it makes you understand why they take some of the kids they do that maybe are three stars. But guess what? They come to Penn State and they test out all, you know, off the charts. And that leads Penn State to offer these kids that maybe other coaches haven't seen work out before, or they haven't seen them in person. Well, Penn State has. They got the measurables. They got the jumping distances and all that. And it led to an offer. So I think that, you know, in the day and age that we live in, analytics are kind of what is endlessly talked about. And people, you know, are now using those in all sports, and certainly on game day. But now it's in the recruiting world, too. And you're seeing, you know, okay, this kid jumped such and such a distance, or this kid ran such and such a 40 time. How does that translate to players that have come before him? And what can that tell us about the player he might develop into based on his current size and what we think he can grow into? So it's a little bit more detailed than that. You can check it out there at 247 Sports. But it's a really good story, and Andy Frank gives a lot of insight. And that's when you see some of these guys commit that you think to yourself, well, that doesn't seem like the kind of guy Penn State would get. There might be more of a reason to it than we thought about before.
Yeah, and I think – you know, that article and where Penn State is in the 2020 recruiting class, the timing was interesting.
Yes.
I think I guess if you're a Penn State fan and you're reading that in that context, you're probably thinking like, okay, I can handle that. But at the same time, I don't think that is the issue on my end. I think it's just a disproportionate number of these kids who are relative unknowns who are getting offered and committing. And the class is made up of maybe a little bit too many of these project type players at this point. And it's still early with 16 commitments. They're probably taking. I'm guessing they're going to take 25 in this class, given all the turnover and everything. I'm guessing it's going to be a 25 member class. So you could end up with 9 polished sure things by the time it's all said and done, and your ratio is going to be fine. But you know that it's they see a kid in person. They see the leaping ability. They see the broad jump, or you know, the shuttle and the 40. They check off whatever boxes they want to check, and they think, you know what, we can work with this. Right. Not the most polished football player, but by the time they come through here in 2-3 years, maybe this is something we're working with. So I do think that Penn State staff deserves some benefit of the doubt here. But like I said, I think the number of these kids in the 2020 class is a little high for my taste.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that there's a long way to go, excuse me, until that first December signing period. And anymore, you know, we talk about recruiting rankings and all that and where Penn State stands. And it's funny because, you know, they were in the top 10. Everything looked great. It was all rosy. Then they fell to, what, 21, 22, and the world was ending. Now they're back up to number 10 and everything's rosy again. So to me, you know, they're interesting to talk about. But the thing I like to look at is the average star ranking. I think you pay pretty close attention to that as well. And I think that tells you that Penn State is – this current class is a little bit it's a little bit of a notch below what they had the last couple of years, but it's not that far from getting back to that point either. And what I mean by that is I think when Penn State you know, finishes this class, they'll be in pretty good shape. And the fact that you know, the fact that they have so many targets still on the board is, I think, what really is kind of the takeaway at this point. Yeah, they have a lot of guys committed, and it seems like they only have, what, room for 4 more, you know, 4 more to 8 more, something in that ballpark. But there's a lot of guys still on the board, and there are some 4 and 5 stars out there, too.
That's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Not too early to think about the 2019 season, especially now as we're sitting here the 1st of July. Next month is when football season begins, August 31st. It's a stretch, but next month, the 2019 season starts. Never too early to check out GoPSURV.com. Give our buddy Mark a call and see what they have to offer. It's the ultimate tailgate experience for any Penn State football game. a Friday through Sunday deal where you're tailgating the whole time. You're getting a shuttle back and forth from the stadium. I've done it a few times. It's been awesome each time. So I highly recommend it. Go PSURV.com.
Five-star experience, right?
Five-star experience. Mm-hmm. This is not a three-star project here. This is not a three-star with measurables who you see some promise. It's a five-star through and through. Brandon Taylor, as you mentioned, I do want to circle back to that ranking, but Brandon Taylor, the three-star from Ohio, you watch Vanover and you see that length. He doesn't have that length. He's 6'3", 240. He looks more like a defensive tackle to me than Vanover does, even though Vanover outweighs him currently. But there's some power and some good leverage with him and some quick feet, a closing burst. There's a lot to work with here, and I think this was a good get for Penn State. I'm not sure that he's the guy to leap from three. I'm positive that Vanover is going to get a four-star along the way. But I think with both of them together, I think it's fair to say at least one of them ends up being a defensive tackle. My money would be on Brandon Taylor of the two of them, though.
How do you feel about Penn State's continued it's like defensive end and defensive tackle. When they get a defensive lineman, there's always a chance that guy's going to slide inside or that guy's going to play outside. And it's kind of the same thing with linebacker and safety and corner and safety. Like, there's not a lot of position.
I'm a big fan of the defensive end to defensive tackle transition.
It worked for Kevin Givens.
Yeah, and he wasn't even a defensive end in high school. He was a linebacker.
Right.
So
and a running back.
I'm a big believer in if you can get that length and quickness and you can be 275 pounds, you can create some actual mismatches. And I think there's some tangible evidence that kind of thinking works for that transition.
Yeah, and in that article I talked about earlier, they make note of the fact that, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but it's better to get a guy who's maybe a little undersized and add that weight when he's in your program than it is to take a guy who's oversized and slim him down to where you want him to be. And that's what I think what Penn State does with a lot of these defensive tackles. The only thing I'll say is if you look at some of the programs vying for national championships, they're the ones often getting the surefire defensive tackle who there's no question what position he's going to play. And that has led Penn State, obviously, to have to look elsewhere sometimes for defensive tackles. And, you know, as we've talked about a lot on this show, if you're going to win it all, you have to have a really good defensive line. I think Penn State has terrific ends this year. I'm not sure about the tackle pitcher. And going forward, you know, is Keziah Isitor guy that moves inside eventually. He's a four-star. I think he's ranked by 247 Sports as a defensive tackle, but his profile lists him as a defensive end, which is one of my favorite confusions about recruiting. Yeah. But, you know, Penn State needs some of these guys to develop. P.J. Mustafer is a good example of that. Antonio Shelton's a good example of that. You know, Sean Spencer has a tremendous track record, but sometimes when they recruit these guys, you know it's going to take some years to get them on the field, and sometimes you need impact sooner. So somebody in this class is going to have to step up and take care of that.
I think some of these guys might need some time, but Penn State's gotten a good mix over the last 3 years of true defensive tackles and these guys who are going to need to make a transition inside. So Taylor and or Vanover could both be candidates for that. A lot of beef in this recruiting class so far. 11 guys are either offensive line, defensive line, or linebackers. We're going to keep talking about the class right after this.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSURV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.